Good morning and welcome to Lighthouse Podcast on Monday. Hey, in the world of advertising, the goal is to get the message before the target audience in at least seven different ways. Oftentimes, we're not even aware of those messages coming or that we're exposed to unconsciously, but they can keep us distracted from what we should be paying attention to. This is known as subtle seduction. And so it begs for a cry to pay attention, wake up, or fall prey to the seduction. And that's what I want to talk about today as we look into Proverbs chapter 7 and the wisdom that this Proverbs has for us, not just to wake up and pay attention, but to avoid seduction. So would you join me as we pray? Father, I thank you so much for the depth and the insight of your word. That, Lord, we can read the surface of it and it sounds fine, but, Lord, the thing that we need is we need application to our lives. Teach us today from the depth and the volume of your word. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So we recognize that chapter 7 is the seventh chapter in a row that Solomon is speaking to his sons about. He's talking to them to help them to pay attention, to learn how to pay attention to the distractions of life, but also how to overcome those things. So just as the Lord passed on to David, David passes on to Solomon, Solomon passes on to his sons, so too are we the sons, and that we are to receive this truth, to meditate upon this truth, to consider what it means for us in our lives, and then how to impart this to our children. So let's jump in. Let's pay attention to this father's instruction. Read with me as we follow along in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. So the first thing that Solomon does is he's saying, hey, treasure the instruction that I give to you. Value it above all the other messages that are trying to creep in and demand attention. Second, follow or keep the instruction given. And by doing so, live well by avoiding the pitfalls of life that are described, we're going to look at later in this chapter. Third is keep the instruction as the center or the focus of our attention. You know, oftentimes for us, we use our experiences as the lens for how we view the world. Well, Solomon is trying to redirect his sons to keep the instruction about life as the lens to use from the instruction that he gives. So the fourth item is Solomon instructs his sons to bind them on his fingers, and fifth, to write them on the tablet of their hearts. What does that mean? Solomon is saying, let my experienced wisdom, so he's lived some errors, learned from those errors, and now he's trying to impart truth to protect, right? So let my experienced wisdom guide the work you do and guard the emotions of your heart. Protect this wisdom carefully, just like you'd protect your sister. You know how that is. Ain't nobody gonna mess with my sister or my mom, right? And all of this is said to keep us from the forbidden woman, from the seductress, the adulteress, and her words. So let's pause here. Let's just kind of take a time to reflect and consider, what does this mean? Because we're speaking about a seductive woman, and that's true. But this is also an illustration that God is using to help us understand that there's somebody behind this seduction. There's somebody who's behind this seductress, and his name is Satan. Chapter 7 teaches us the seductive tactics of Satan by the illustration of the adulteress. Biblically, the adulteress is likened to idolatry. It's anything that captures our attention and leads to ruin. Before we uncover the enemy of our soul's seductive tactics, though, we need to read about the naivety of man. So let's read on in verses 6 through 9. It says, "For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the time of night and darkness." Can I say to you very loudly, don't go wandering around where you shouldn't be? See, that's the problem that Eve had in the garden, is that she was drawn to something that she should have been keeping a great distance from. And then because she was at the wrong place, there was a wrong person there waiting to talk to her and to stray her from her focus, what she was supposed to be doing. And his name is Satan, because Satan's end game is always the same. It's death. Death meaning permanent separation from God. Yes, death physically, but the greater death, the second death, is the permanent separation from God. Well, that's what Solomon's saying is, hey, let me help you understand. This isn't just something that happens occasionally. This is something that happens to every single man, woman, and child because we don't pay attention. It's kind of like this. It's like we fall prey to the enticement, the seduction, where we say, it won't hurt me, or if I'm only thinking about it. Oh, it won't hurt me if I just walk by it. I won't stop. It won't hurt me just to touch it. I just want to experience what it feels like. I won't eat it. Then I can handle this, and I'm only going to eat one bite. I think you get the picture. But you know, before we continue on in this passage, I think that we need to take a brief stop right here and realize that, you know what, we've all been in this place. And so if we've all been in this place, how do we get out? Because it's a snare. And as you know, the way that snares work is it's the reason that a snare works is because you're distracted and you don't see it coming. But then once you're caught, as you struggle and you try to pull back away, it gets tighter and tighter. And there's only one way out. And that one way is by someone coming to set you free. But there's only one who can set us free. He's the one who paid the price for us falling prey to seduction. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." God wants to protect us from that. But it says, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins." He's the blood atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. You see, as our advocate, this means he's our intercessor, but it doesn't mean that he just had a good conversation. He wasn't just a good attorney on our behalf. No, he was the one that took our place on the cross of judgment. Therefore, when we cry out, he hears our cries of repentance, and he rescues us by his love. And he delivers us from the snares that we've fallen prey to. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. At our worst place, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, he cleanses us by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies and were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." That's the best news ever. So God bless you all, and I look forward to continuing on in Proverbs chapter 7 as we look at the seductive methods or tactics of the enemy. God bless you all. Have an awesome Monday.